It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where there's all kinds of goodie going on. You know, we are evolving. There's all kinds of stuff. I keep promising all kinds of stuff we're doing behind the scenes, and we keep doing more stuff. I give you a secret. Let me tell you what happened. In one day, we push a little bit. We're having to get, you know, because we didn't know what the heck we were doing. You know, we have some guys that, you know, in 2005, when they first started, really it became obvious that we're going to have this YouTube thing. We could broadband internet video. When that happened, I go, oh, and here we go. The starting pistol was done. Might as well have been the printing press. Okay, I got it. So here we go. Freedoms Phoenix starts. I go around, talk to my friends. You're libertarians, and you're just thick, hip deep in, you know, web making, you know, site building kind of computer geek people. Okay, they're just all right. Which one of you guys knows what's going on? I just want to know. I got a question. Can you or can you not do this, and that? Well, yeah, but I don't want to talk all the computer. Was there going to be a test later? I'm going to understand what the heck you're saying. You're talking different languages and this and that and so on, and, you know, MySQL and PHP and front page and blah, 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 blah. Don't mean nothing to me. HTML and this code and that code and kind of languages and, you know, and Drupal and WordPress and kind of what? I have no idea what you're talking about. Don't care. I go like this. I click a button. It goes. It looks like this. It does this. It goes there. Right? Right? Yes, no, yes, no, yes. Cool. Then let's begin. So we did. As the internet evolved, what happened was with search engines and rankings and what gets seen and how and what and who controls it and just all kinds of goodies, we learn this stuff as we go on. And we find that Freedoms Phoenix is so complicated that, you know, we have to, you know, rebuild it in such a way that it's more streamlined. I'll give you an example. When you have a category, we save a show and we put it in a particular category. Well, that you know, is also linked to the Daily Dispatch, where we have that headline that goes out in email that's sent out every day, sometimes twice a day. We have the AM and PM edition. This goes out. The reason that we do the early morning one at 1 a.m. in the morning Pacific time is so that it gets to the East Coast by 4 a.m., 3 hours later, you know, they have earlier. See, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 4 a.m. to be there for the talk shows in the morning, the early morning talk shows, television and radio, because Freedoms Phoenix is used by a lot of talk show hosts. I may not tell you that, but we already know. So we have over 2,000 just media. I mean, you know, print, television, radio. So this, because I understood how the media worked. I was a producer in radio and a talk show host. So I get it. You know, they're just, that's where we get a lot of our guests. There's all these people that send it out. Oh, they're pushing these PR people. And a lot of times I'll pick the ones that I don't agree with. It's more interesting radio. And, you know, a lot of times you're having an influence on them. But when you do this complicated tapestry at Freedoms Phoenix is, it creates other opportunities, and you'll learn how the information is being shared. I'm going to share the backroom deals and how this works from our perspective and yours when we come back. This will be a good education on the internet and how it works and why they got to shut it down.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And I wanted to, you know, let you know, RBN has been, you know, a great service. We get a lot of good response for them, you know, for just interest of the people. And when I let you call in, you know, you can call us. But, there's a wide audience across the planet that RBN has, but I'm sure they got costs, you know. So they're doing a pledge drive, right? That's how you do it. Go to, you know, I'll give you, go and get a pen and so on, you know, so that you know you can do that. But I'm going to go ahead and give you the website for them. And let's make sure it's republicbroadcasting.org. But I'm going to make sure because I don't want to do it wrong. Republicbroadcasting.org. There you go. Republicbroadcasting.org. You can make donations there. They got a lot of good people up there, a lot of good archives, $1.33 a month to be able to get all the archives. I mean, seriously, I can afford $1.33. In fact, I do. that's what I do. You know, the address also, you go Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can just go to republicbroadcasting.org. Give them money! You know, at least a little bit. You know, hey, I'll go give them silver. I'll go buy some of their silver. You know, that's a good way of doing it. You know, the one thing that I want to make sure is that I share with you the perspective of someone that has absolutely no idea how the internet works other than as a tool, okay? What we run up against, the things that we've learned, how it's used, what the bad guys have to do. And they are a leviathan that is so. They're a coughing up blood dinosaur. They are, roar, we're going to get those little mammals out here doing whatever, and they can't get into little crooks and crannies and underground kind of doing tunnel and, you know, a little meerkats running around and popping up and down and doing, and they're just a big giant kind of, they can't get control of it. They can't understand. They're a big elephant and we're a little mouse. And they're afraid. And what happens is there's the internet thing. I could see what was coming. A lot of us did. Oh, we're going to be able to directly communicate mind to mind instantaneously in many different ways without filters. And they go, nope, MySpace, fine, boom. Rupert Murdoch buys it up for $360-80 million or something. Yep, I control all these young minds, and I get all their little secrets, and I can sell and market and put and advertise and inject into the matrix, into their head, banner ads of whatever. They went to Facebook, damn it. Okay, we'll go do Facebook, build up all that. And up, we shut all of them. They got gas and flags on them. Oh, we shut them down. They got stuff we don't like. Shut them down. They got too many friends. Oh, they're up to 10,000, 100,000 friends. Oh, my goodness. These people have too much power. We can't allow it. We shut it down. You know, they and then they go, oh, Twitter. They're just, you know, heck, 140 characters. I mean, you know, and they're doing the links and people following. They got all these Twitter links and doing the, we got to get control of that. Well, Twitter can't even get control of it. You know, these people didn't. They go, dang, man, we thought this was going to be simple. You know, then we start talking to our Uber geek guys behind Freedom's Phoenix, and I go, the hardware guy, I'm saying, look, if we create our own database by which we allow freedom activists to be able to upload video, what does that entail? How much memory do we need? How's that served? What is the? And he goes, well, how many people are you talking about? I go, we narrow it down. You know, you're a skateboarding cat, I don't care. Okay, I mean, we're talking about street activism kind of, so it's going to bring it down quite a bit. But there was so much during the Ron Paul revolution, that during the revolution, it's still continuing, that you're going, are we going to be able to do this? Well, that's kind of what the site you'll see promoted on Freedom's Phoenix every now and then, you know, and the banner ads and so on, is Break the Matrix. You know, Trevor Lyman is one of the instrumental parts behind that, and Sherry Roach, she was their part of this. We're going to create a mechanism by which people can supply content, because their original idea was to be able to have their own satellite television channel, that you have all this content that's put in a certain format. I told them, I said, you tell me the format, I'm doing it. You know, we'll get right on it. We got videos, so let's do it. But they never kind of got it. It's a little bit, you know, less organized than that. I'm of the mind that, you know, I go, fine. They want to do it however they wanted to do it. My thing is, I go, look, you submit it in this format. It's this long of segments for this period. You can do, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, 60, whatever, that can be segments that can be put into a format that's available for cable television. Which means they get to run. It's just like doing radio. I know how this works. You know, certain networks have different kind of breaks. You know, you have generally, you know, RBN does a little bit different, but generally you have in an hour show, you have four main segments, about 10 minutes each. And you go like this, you go, look, you create the segments that are like this long doing this thing. We'll put them all together and put it in. It'd be audio, video, what? So back end, what do we need for that? You know, how do we serve that? How big of servers do we need? How much bandwidth do we need? How much memory storage do we need? How do we do it? This cloud computing thing, which goes out and puts it out on the internet, a little bit pieces on everybody's hard drive out on the planet out there. I'm not real comfortable with that, certainly not without a backup. So we're doing, working on all this kind of stuff. So I'm going, all right, what is it that we need to be able to provide a service that has somebody that they're going to have to show up with a big, giant search warrant. They're going to need to have all kinds of shiny badges and guns. And that we even have the capacity to even acquiesce to their request. I'm going, I'm sorry. I don't know, man. It's on, our servers are on some space station. As soon as you can get somebody to go up there and flip the switch, we'll get right on it for you. I mean, you know, this is where we're going. We have to understand how this works. One of the things is that when you put up a headline on freedomsphoenix.com, there are so many things that it does. It goes to the category. It links to into the daily dispatch of the email archive that we send out. It links to the archive of the emails that we send out, because, you know, you can go and look at all the ones that you may have missed. It goes and links into the on-site search engine that we have, so that you can search stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. It goes out to the internet. It goes into a category that is then searched by the search engine to go. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. All of a sudden, we find there was one story we had. This happens every now and then. And just recently, I don't know, last week or something, we had this one story. You know, it was like, I don't know, it was 20-something thousand just for that one story. And it was about gun confiscation that they're doing up in Dakotas or something, that they're training people. They're going to take the guns. And it hits on some site that people freaked out. They send it out all over the planet. Boom! All of a sudden, you know, we're at, you know, 54,000 half a day or something. So we're going, okay, why is that not happening more? You know, we have these others that kind of, you know, just happened a little bit differently. It got hit on a certain engine a certain way, and it doesn't happen. Well, then we start to find out, well, we got to do it. We flip a switch. Boom! It goes up again. Then we do the little searching, Google Analytics, kind of doing little switches and code, and boom, it goes again. This is stuff that every time we find one of these little bitty things, all of a sudden we reach capacity again. So as soon as we think we got it, okay, man, we're going to do, as soon as we increase our capacity, we hit the limit again. And we got to keep increasing and keep increasing. Where's the end of this? Where's the stop? I have no idea. I have no idea. It is, we got a plan for a billion minds being able to go through Freedom's Phoenix. How do you do that? I don't know. We're working on it. But it's not just us. This is the point that I'm making. We are just a side effect of an awakening. There is a much larger thing going on. Michael Badnarik understands this too. When we first started doing this, certainly he ran for president as a Libertarian nominee, We're screaming Federal Reserve for decades. Libertarian heck, when Ron Paul first got elected to Congress back in the 70s, he's sitting there predicting what's going to happen. You go off Bretton Woods, we're screwed. You know, you go off the gold standard, let me tell you what happens. Guaranteed, sooner or later. Probably a lot later than what a lot of us anticipated, but it was guaranteed, I can tell you that. It's how long, and the longer they hold it off, the worse it gets. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. I'll tell you what I was looking at for the past couple of days. This is just a personal note. When I go in to my homepage on Freedom's Phoenix, you can create your own little homepage and it allows you to get quick links, and there's all kinds of benefits of membership. But what happens is I go in, I look at the gold and silver spot prices. They took a dump. Silver, gold went down to almost $1,175, and then today it shot back up. Yesterday it didn't shoot back up. Usually on Mondays it shoots back up. And I go, Donna, when it hits a Monday and it stays down, but Tuesday it shot back up, you know. I go, when it stays down, we're going to buy us some more. We're going to buy us some more. I'm ready to buy some more. If it goes down tomorrow morning, we'll buy some more. Better buy some more.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back. Yep, I pushed the wrong button. No music. That's okay. Come back to me. Hello. You want me to sing? Nah, let's not do that. You know, what I'm looking at here is I'm trying to... This is really a trap that you fall into. You can find whatever you're looking for. You know, that's why on Freedom's Phoenix, I allow such a wide perspective across the entire... They go... I've gotten emails that go like this. I thought you were a conservative site. I can't believe that you would have blah, 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 blah. I thought you were a liberal, progressive, you know, I can't believe you have blah, 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 blah. And I always email them back. Usually it's conservative guys. And I email them back and I said, no, it's a libertarian site. But libertarians allow everybody to get to have their say. And you got to compete in the forest of ideas. You get to compete along with other people that would criticize you. You get to compete along with other philosophies. And it just so happens that libertarians just go, competition la good. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. So what I want to do is just, you know, give you an example of when I look for something, I'm looking at the gold and silver prices because I'm not smart enough to look at anything else. I mean, I can sit. I know a lot of people that play the this, the that, the, you know, the trends of, and you know, spend a gazillion dollars on this and make. And I made a whole bunch of money today because I know better. And you know, I don't. So I don't even play. You know, I go like this. I ask them. I said, if I just keep buying silver every time I got an extra dollar, am I going to be okay? Yep, probably be all right. So I'm feeling good about that because that's one thing that I look at every time it goes. You know, Lord forbid it goes below 17. Cause I'm waiting for the next dump. There is going to be another dump. They have tried. It keeps going. Man, it starts going to the moon. What we do? Almost had $20 here recently again, and boom, it's back, you know, below 18 again. And I'm going, you know, it sooner or later, they're not going to be able to do it because there's so much more contracts out there for gold and silver than they have in existence. That has to reconcile itself someday. It's like rolling over debt all. Sooner or later, you got to pay it off. Sooner or later, somebody's like, hey, give me my money. Sooner or later, it comes crashing down. Sooner or later, the currencies go to crap. You keep spending like they're doing, you know, Bernanke's cranking up the helicopters, going to jump another $5 trillion on the trillions. I mean, we used to think, you know, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon, you're talking, you know, some real money. Trillions? Seriously. So we have a sign that we want to do, you know, it says, no Gerber baby stencil we have, and we'll put, mommy, what's a quadrillion dollars? Revolution. That's what it is. You know, so I, you know, here we go. So what am I looking for? I go into Google and I put gold manipulation. You know, I mean, what should I put in there? Gold non-manipulation? I mean, you know, now, of course, if I put in manipulation, I'm going to find, you know, articles and things on manipulation. So am I kind of predisposing, you know, the information that I'm getting? So that's why I have other people will put stuff, no, gold market, how do you, fine, I put it on. I see it in the Wall Street Journal. I see it on Bloomberg. I see it on USA Today. I see it. You know, we don't put hardly anything from USA Today. It's so crap. And usually it's like 3 weeks old anyway, and it's just spin on the news after everybody already knows about it, and they're just going to put a spin on it. You know, that is just, I mean, when you know that you got a paper that's doing that, you know you're screwed, man. They're just a waste of my time. But so here we have a gold manipulation, and it's a Kaiser report. You know, Max Kaiser does these on Russian Times. And, you know, it's amazing that you got Russia and Pravda. During the Iraq War, when it first started going in Afghanistan and so on, if we really wanted anything that was just information, we would go to Pravda, the Russian media. I mean, that, you know, heck, they were more than willing to tell what was really going on, especially since they already knew the valleys and the bottlenecks and all the stuff that was going on in Afghanistan. That's where their empire went to die. So they were more than happy to go, ha, 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 America's, you know, next Vietnam. It was ours. Now it's yours. Nah, nah, nah. You know, so this is, you know, we get that kind of. Then we go to Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, Middle East network, they've gone down the dark side. I mean, they're just bad, or they don't have staff, or they're just, you know, they're just regurgitating whatever they're getting from wherever. You know, it used to be a lot of original content until the reporters started getting killed. A10 strafing them. All the best reporters were killed. So I'm going, okay. They did a show called Outfoxed. It was a documentary. And I think it was in that one that they did some highlights of the managing, what do you want to call them? You know, editor, I guess, the head guy, producer in charge of Al Jazeera, and he spoke English, and he's like, yeah, my goal is to go America. Yeah, I want to be CNN. I want to get a job. I want to have white picket fence. Get out of here. I mean, very clear. I mean, every chance he got in that documentary, oh, by the way, you know, right here, man, need a brown face, need Arab guy, speaks, you know, I'm ready to go. Well, man, he just might as well put a price tag on himself. So you know, Al Jazeera kind of went down. So we don't use a lot of their stuff anymore. But here we have Max Kaiser. This week, Max Kaiser and co-host Stacey Herbert look at the latest scandals of deficit fraud, Hank Paulson's love of financial reform, and the RIAA's very low return bullying. In the second half of the show, Max talks to Ben Davies of Hind Capital about the Bank of International Settlement, gold swaps, and more. I have been interested in that. We have been talking about that. I'm like, what the heck is going on with this gold swapping thing in the big central banks? What are they doing? You know, there's somebody is taking money. They're getting ready to, you know, it's like we had signs that said the Fed did it. I asked Renee Houlihan, we were doing some video one time. I go, Fed did it. What'd they do? She goes, they printed money and bought gold with it. Wow. If that didn't sum it up right there. And I bet you that's what this is about. We're going to do some more research. Are we asking the right question?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Change. What the heck? Let's go ahead and do that. You know, but, you know, are we manufacturing our own perspective? I mean, can we allow ourselves to be challenged? Can we allow ourselves to hear an alternative view and, you know, filter it? You know, and filter it with what? You know, I mean, if you don't stand, you know, what's that, how that country song go? If you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything or something like that. You know, I mean, you know, one other thing, it was a reporter that said it to me. I remember back in the mid-90s, you know, we were doing some activist thing and so on and having an impact, and he called me, and he goes, yeah, he goes, you guys get noticed standing up for this stuff because everyone else is on their knees. And I'm like, whoa, man, what book did you get that from? That was good, good. Yeah, make sure you put that in there. Say I said it. I'm going, wow. So that is, you know, what really happens. But when you're doing a lot of search for things, I mean, do you find stuff you were looking for? I mean, you put in, you know, conspiracy alien embedded in news media Iraq, you know, from Alpha Centauri or whatever. I mean, you know, well, does something come up? I mean, you know, maybe. But, you know, that's why you need to have a wide radar screen. This is the benefit I get from my wife and children. I learned to accept the difference between men and women and not get caught up in there's no difference. There's a freaking difference. You're married 25, 20, almost 26. Whoa, when is... Oh, yeah. Whew. My anniversary is August 11th, man. I was like, ooh, getting close, man. Don't want to forget that one. But, you know, what happens is you 26 years it'll be. After 26 years, you know what I found out? Just life, you know, being 49. You know, women are wired differently than men. That's just get used to it. That's just the way it is, you know. But viva la différence. Because what happens is they're predisposed to have a different radar segment of the 360 around your head. You know, men are more, it's more narrow, maybe more focused, maybe more intense radar, maybe a longer looking, maybe more powerful, but it's not as wide. And it certainly has a different thing, and you can train yourself to kind of overlap and look at different things. But I'm telling you, you get a female perspective, you get a young perspective. We have on Freedom's Phoenix staff, you know, some of the guys that go and look out, you know, and find the stories that you'll see on Freedom's Phoenix that come in. You know, one of those guys that does the most, he's 18 years old. He's a little brainiac, you know. He's one of those uber mind guys, you know, engineering student, and, you know, part-time doing whatever. But I tell you, you know, you need that kind of perspective. How are you going to know what's expected by the younger generation if they're not the ones participating in what the perspective that they see the news? You look at this stuff. You look at stuff. It says Freedom's Phoenix staff, most of that is done by an 18-year-old young man from Wisconsin. Now you know. So when you see that, you'll go, that's what an 18-year-old sees. Oh, and you're thinking he was 50, 60. These kids, man, you're not able to pull it over on them. They're, you know, a lot of science and technology. They see a lot of what's coming, a lot of energy, innovation, space, you know, this kind of stuff. And we help encourage, you know, I'll send them stuff to put up and everything. It just frees up the time. But I'm telling you, this radar screen that you have of what really affects our lives is much bigger than you think. Enormous, but we still have our biases. I'll go in a lot of times and I encourage people, it's what question you ask. If you don't know the question, it doesn't matter that it's out on the search engines and, you know, all the accumulated minds online and all the information that is online is available through Google searches. You know how Google works? Google goes out and just trolls the entire internet, Every JPEG, every GIF, every photo, every graphic, every chart, every page, every, you know, cache clip saved memory of anything that was up even for a temporary amount of time. They go out and take the entire internet, copy it, and put it on their servers. When you do a Google search, you're not searching the internet. You're searching Google servers of the internet. It's like an internet copy. Do you know that? You know, this is how they work and how they organize. That's why you go to Google Image. You know where we get all the graphics and images on Freedom's Phoenix? You go to Google, you type in, you know, you see up in the top little choices, web, news, whatever, image. I type in whatever. I need something. I go, let's see. Obama healthcare, crazy on the moon with parsley included with a toothpick. You put that in, boom, and there you got Obama standing on with the Obamacare kind of something in a space suit with, you know, toothpick in his mouth, you know, a little parsley, you know, emblem on his sleeve. You think I'm kidding, man? You know, if it exists, it's there. It's just how you ask the question. You just got to formulate, widen your radar so that you can include different words and different orders for the question. What if you're always asking the same question? Well, you're always going to get that reinforced. You're not learning anything. You know, pro this, anti that, with, without. I mean, you got to add adjectives and adverbs and other, you know, and verbs and nouns, you know, around something. Quit looking for what you want because you're going to get what you want. You want to get a wider look at it. Understand what the other guys are saying. And a lot of times, I used to get criticized a lot more before than I do now, but they start to understand the value of Freedom's Phoenix. It's a wider radar screen. You don't get surprised as much. You understand the argument. You know, you get fun things like this. This is good. This is good. They, in the healthcare bill, they had in there as a luxury tax, I think it was the healthcare bill, or one of the bills in Congress, they had to where they were taxing tanning salons. They had a tax on tanning. You know, we're going to tax. This is a luxury tax. This is like, you know, we can tax this. They want to tax, soda pop, liquor, cigarettes, and tanning salons, you know? So they put in the tanning salons. You know what the argument was? It was racist. You're not, who uses tanning salons? Not black people. You know, not Hispanics. You know, probably not Asians. White people use tanning salons. So you're discriminating. You're putting an unfair tax burden on white people. And I go, ooh, that's good. Because imagine, what if it was the other way around? What if there was a non-tanning lightening up thing or whatever? Well, you know, white people aren't doing that. Maybe black people or bound, you know, that wanted to, you know, do the Michael Jackson thing or something. You know, oh, man, you'd be screaming racism then, wouldn't you? You see? So I'm going, you get a lot of, you know, the wider screen. What I'm going to do is I say that because I'm looking for some understanding of this Bank International Settlement gold swap thing, and it's dated today. Max Kaiser interviewed a guy named Ben Davies at a Hine Capital in, I think it's in London. So I just found it. I just got it. I got queued up here. I did it in the break. I'm just going to go ahead and we're going to listen to it together a little bit, see what we can learn. Here we go.
Welcome back to the Kaiser Report. Time now to go to London to talk to Ben Davies, director and CEO of Hind Capital. Welcome to the show, Ben Davies.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
All right, Ben, you run a gold fund. Why has gold risen so much in value, and are you sticking to your target of $36,000 an ounce?
Good question. Gold is rising because there is a mass debasement of global currencies around the world. Central banks governments have moved on a policy of monetization and fiscal imprudence in order to socialize all the losses in the private sector, either banking sector. So in order to bail out the banks, they needed to find some money, and unfortunately that wasn't very forthcoming, so they've had to create it. The consequence of that is that people understand that money is becoming gradually, or actually rather rapidly, worthless. And as a consequence, there is a growing move into gold. So when people talk about a bubble brewing in gold, I think they're very misguided. And actually what we're seeing is a bubble in paper currencies.
All right. Now, when you talk about the government's creating lots of paper, in the UK, it's just been reported that the government has disclosed, and they've found magically many more trillions of dollars in bad debt that they didn't have or knew existed as early as 2 weeks ago. So isn't part of the problem here in terms of the scenario going forward that all the money that's being created, it seems to be even more bad debts suddenly appear out of nowhere? And the net result, in fact, is the situation we have today, which can be described as deflation.
Clearly, as under Irving Fisher's debt deflation scenario, as you have encumbered debts and they become realized and you have a deleveraging of the system, there is a demand for currency, which would be counterintuitive to the amount of currency that is being created on the other side. But yeah, the policy response at this time, and I consider it probably to continue, particularly with the United States and probably what we're about to see with regard to the European Financial Stability Facility, I think there will be another shock and awe process where we will see more fiscal priming and we will see more monetization. And as you say, the more deleveraging is, they really have very little choice open to them. They can either go down the route of an explicit default, which is just not palatable if you're wanting to get re-elected, or you go down an implicit route, which is to reflate the system. So yes, they have a fight on their hands, and they're going to have to constantly manage reflation versus this, as you call it, deflation. But I would add that you have to be very careful how you define inflation and deflation. Deflation or inflation is really related to money supply. If the money supply is increasing, you have a symptom of which is inflation, a rise in the price of goods. That is the definition. So a collapse in money supply leads to what you call deflation. Although money supply is reduced somewhat globally, it still probably runs at double digits. So I don't see deflation in the terms that you express it.
I guess it's a moot point, Ben Davies, because what you're saying is that at some point, when the deleveraging process ends, there's going to be a ton of cash sitting there, and the inflationary genie will be out of the bubble. So we could say that gold is telegraphing a point in time where inflation becomes the dominant factor, even though today, just to be technical, the global economy is experiencing deflation. Now, let's talk about manipulation in the gold and silver prices. Who's doing it? Why are they doing it? Where are they doing it? And talk a little bit about the problems with physical delivery, London Bullion Markets Association, et cetera. Ben Davies, tell us more.
It's a fascinating topic, and it brings both sides of the debate out to the fore. You've got those who are against the concept, and those who believe full-heartedly that it occurs. I lie somewhere towards the middle, but perhaps beginning to lean more and more that the market is definitely seeing suppression. That was evident to me in July of 08 to November 08, particularly in the paper market. That's when I refer to the paper market, I mean COMEX and perhaps the OTC unallocated accounts. But when you looked at the COMEX behavior, it would appear that a couple of the commercial banks had taken egregious short positions, which was amounted in silver particularly to almost 140% of the annual mine supply. Now, you know, to get the kind of limits that you would need for that, I would suspect that you need a bit more VAR or margin capability than was available at that time, particularly in a deleveraging environment. So that flagged a warning to me to some extent. What concerns me is that there is a fractional reserve system occurring in the LBMA market, whereby for every 1 ounce that you believe that you have as a claim on physical assets, I don't know what the number is, and you know, we're definitely investigating that, but it would seem that multiples of that have been lent out. And so that if you were to take try and arrive at a wholesale claim of your physical assets, you know, it wouldn't be possible to take delivery. So to come back to your question, I do think that there is some manipulation in the market. I do think there's some intervention potentially by government organizations. I think that is evident in every market. I mean, after all, the Hong Kong Monetary Authority very openly intervened in the equity markets back in 98. But I think the difference here is that it's not transparent, and that flags warnings to individuals.
Okay, so you've got a few facts on the ground here. J.P. Morgan in New York purportedly short something like 30,000 silver contracts, an enormous position in the commodities market to have, and they've been notorious for keeping the price of silver artificially cheap. You've got Andrew Maguire in the UK, whistleblower on the London Bullion Markets Association, testifying to Gary Gensler of the CFTC, talking about leverage of 100-1 on that market, physical being collateralized or speculated upon with paper bets 100 times greater than any possible silver in the vault. And also, you know, going back a few years, some would posit that Gordon Brown's sale of half of the UK gold supply at the absolute low price for decades had a lot to do with trying to meet short positions in this artificially goosed short precious metal market as a way to support the fiat currency system, which is a system that not only has brought us a bankrupt economy around the world, but has also fed the financing needs for the most ugly aspects of our society. And I'm talking about the war machine in the UK and the US, the ecological devastation we're seeing. But then, of course, we're getting more into a political arena. And I want to keep this more on the economics. Now, the biggest story, the gold story of the past week has been the news that European commercial banks are reportedly engaged in gold swaps with the Bank of International Settlements. Okay, talk a little.
Now, let's go ahead and hold that into the next segment. This is what we want to get into. The central banks are doing some kind of gold swap thing. This was the impression that I got. If you need money, you're begging for money, you're going to go out of business. I'm a bank. I want money. I'm going to die. I need my TARP. I need my bailout. I need my whatever. And somebody says, absolutely. We'll push the button and, you know, we'll transfer to your account today. But we're going to need some kind of collateral, you know, 10 to 1, 100 to 1, whatever you need. But we need it in gold. And then when you don't pay it back, guess what? We printed money and got gold for it. Ooh, is it that easy?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, there's something going on. It's all around us, and we need to understand it. Well, Max Kaiser today has a gentleman, Ben Davies, on from Hine Capital out of London, and they're just getting into the meat of it, so I want to get right to it, on the Bank of International Settlement and the banks there and their gold swaps. They're turning gold into paper, just like they did the dollar. You know, it's good as gold, and once it's delinked to any kind of metal, you know, back in the early 70s, that was when Ron Paul went to Congress for just that reason in the mid-70s, said, oh, heck no, I know where this is going, and he's been screaming this since forever, and now, finally, he's, you know, 74 years old, and he's going, how's that working out for us? Did I tell you this was coming? Well, here it comes. Well, now this is what I, you know, it's got my attention. You know, let's go ahead and see what they have to say.
Arena, and I want to keep this more on the economics. Now, the biggest story, the gold story the past week, has been the news that European commercial banks are reportedly engaged in gold swaps with the Bank of International Settlements. Okay, talk a little bit about who the BIS is and a little bit about this gold swap story, please.
To rewind slightly, you talked about that perhaps Brown had to sell the gold in order to meet growing shorts from swaps and leased gold. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said to that. I mean, I do find it interesting that the ECB then announced not long after the Bank of England's announcements to do its series of auctions. I believe there were 17 over the next 3 years or 4 years. I think 1999 to 2002. But the ECB, who probably has a legacy to the Bundesbank, who felt firsthand the Weimar Republic hyperinflation and understood the value of sound finance and gold as a consequence, that they came and proposed the CBGA, the Central Bank Gold Agreement, and obviously gold spiked on that, and I think that was trying to limit the sales. So I don't think every central bank is complicit. To move on to the BIS and the central banks, the BIS is the central bank to the central banks, and they have a mandate. They can do financial transactions with those central banks. They also can, if you look within their statute, they can transact within the commercial banking sector as well. So in regard to the BIS gold swaps, now what is a swap? A swap is a transference of one asset for another. In this case, it is gold for foreign exchange reserves. To all intents and purposes, it's not much different from a loan or a repo, repurchase agreement. But typically, swaps occur from central bank to central bank, whereas a repo is from a commercial bank to a central bank. So in this case, it seems rather odd that you'd have a commercial bank giving gold on a swap basis to the BIS. What would be the purpose of that? Now, what got the imagination really firing for people is that obviously there's a lot of problems in Europe, and rumours were abound that perhaps there's in some way some liquidity provision for the central banks, and perhaps that's why the BIS was, you know, really wanted to come out and say, no, this is not a central bank swap, there's no issues with the central banks, and this is really just a commercial transaction. Well, the reality is no commercial bank has that much gold. They have very little gold on their balance sheets. And when we talk about commercial banks, in this case...
Oh, you start to see what's going on? I do. You know, it's exactly what I anticipated. It is turning gold in the paper. And they've been doing that already. So now they're going, you know, we're drowning here. We need liquidity. We need cash. We need money. We need little zeros put in after a one in our bank account. And they go, not a problem. We can do that. You know, we got congressmen in our hip pocket. We got countries. We got central bank. We can take care of that for you. We can give you, 20-1, 100-1, whatever. You know, it's just paper. We don't care. But we want your gold. We want all your physical gold. You give us the gold, we'll give you all the paper you want. Give us the gold. Help me help you. Help me help you with all your gold. That's what's going on. You watch.